I'm preaching on a topic called loving people you don't like. Would you agree that we all have people we don't like in our life? Last week I talked about why is it hard to love some people. And one reason that I gave last week was because we were raised like that. Remember, love starts in a family. Bible says, honor your father and mother, and you will have a good life. Right? Amen. So, we learn to cherish, we learn to love one another in our family. Plus, we learn to love other people in our family. If our mother didn't like a certain person, then most likely you're probably not going to like the certain type of person. If your family didn't like another family, most likely when you grow up, you're probably not going to like that family as well. Now, if your country doesn't like another country, you probably going to be patriotic and probably not going to like the country. And maybe, you know, that other nation didn't do anything to you, but you just don't like him. And I did that message last week, so I'm not going to repeat it. Today I'm going to talk about something different. I want us to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that's a chapter of what? Love. Amen. And we're going to read just one phrase in verse 4. Love does not envy. Okay, that's our topic for today. Why do we have those people that we don't like? After today, you're going to know exactly how to love people you don't like. Listen, guys, why do we even do this? Do we even come and listen to the ministry and preaching? Because it could better our life. It can make our life much better. All right, so love does not envy. Now, when I talk about a subject of love, I understand that it's not like talking about, let's say, stealing or talking about cussing or swearing. See, when we talk about stealing, a person can easily stop stealing. It's easier to stop stealing than it is to love. Because love is a perfect state. When I talk about love, I understand that as long as I live, I will have problems with this issue. And I understand as long as you live, you will have problems with this issue. You cannot just say, I choose to love and that's it. You never have a problem with that. Because otherwise it would be called perfect love. We're not saying that loving people is easy. When I preach this message, I'm not saying that loving people is easy. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that loving people is easy. So I understand that I'm talking about a giant type of a subject. We're tackling today a giant, something huge. It's not easy. Love is not easy. Last week I preached a message, and this whole week I was tested on that message. So I'm very careful to tell you stuff because I know I'm going to be tested. Amen. On Monday I went to the gym and I was tested exactly to what I was preaching on Sunday. And if you're careful, if you're really paying attention on Sunday, you will be tested during the week. That's why we come to church on Sunday, so we can be exposed to the truth. And then we make a choice. Amen. When we're talking about love, it's not easy. Let's look at this. Love does not envy. That's the first thing that when we get to the description of what is love, we understand that number one thing, it says, love does not envy. When you envy somebody, do you love them? That's a question. When you envy somebody, do you really love them? Okay, I wouldn't say you hate them yet, but when you envy somebody, there is deficiency of love. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, the love is not perfect and not in its perfect state. Now, let me read to you what the word envy means, or jealousy. Painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Let me read it again. Envy is painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. So when you look at somebody and you see they have an advantage in certain area, and it begins to hurt you, or you begin to resent that person. How many of you have been there? Amen. Come on. We've been there. We don't have a problem loving people who are inferior to us, who are less than us, who are poorer than us, who are not as good looking as us, who is not dressed as good as we are. We don't have a problem loving those people. Notice. We don't have a problem loving people who are less talented than us. Oh, we love those people. I mean, hallelujah, you know? We don't have girls' problem to love, you know, other girls who are not so, you know, beautiful and smart and pretty and dress nice as we are. But as soon as there's a girl who's as good as you or a little bit better, you begin to feel the feeling of resentment or a little pain on the inside. Well, that's envy. As soon as, for me, let's say, and hopefully not, somebody begins to preach better. Oh, I gotta get my skills up here. That's just an example. As soon as somebody begins to sing better in as a worship leader, guess what's happened? Oh, come on. I'm going to touch your issues too. As soon as somebody begins to play better in your music instrument, oh, you get envy, right? As soon as somebody begins to do something better than you do, usually people have a feeling of that envy. Now, let me give you a note here. Now, when somebody builds a house better than mine, and I don't know them, I could care less, right? But notice, envy usually appears with neighbor or a brother. When my brother builds a house better than I, oh, hurts. And I smile because I've created an art of American niceness. Look, I smile. I'm happy for you, but on the inside I'm sweating. Well, on the inside I'm disturbed, and my forehead is sweating. Envy is an invisible yet deadly sin. Envy is a destroyer of many friendships, relationships, great businesses, great musical and dance groups. Envy is a destroyer. Usually people are envious because of some advantages. Let's talk about that. But before we do, I want you to open to Genesis 4. And it's chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and in their fat. Okay. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk about Cain and Abel. They're first two people born on the earth, because Adam and Eve was not born, they were created. If you know anything about history, then first brother in history had a greater respect in community and in the family. So Cain was pretty confident in who he was, because his father always said, you're my firstborn, you're going to inherit everything I have. And here, after Cain, there was Abel. I want to ask you a question. Who chose the responsibilities or duties of Cain and Abel? Now, Cain, we know, was doing what? Tiller of the ground, right? Abel was shepherd. Okay, so who chose their responsibilities? Okay, themselves, dad, who else? God, okay. Usually, older brother gets an advantage in a family as far as choosing. Who gets the first pick? The oldest in a family, right? The oldest in a family is the first one to drive, the first one to dress a certain way. So the older person. So who had a pick in groundwork? Cain. And then here comes Abel. Did Abel really had a choice? Not really, because Cain already chose, and so what was left was Abel was like, I'm going to be a shepherd. Now, if we read in the Bible, we know that shepherding was a low position, especially in Egypt. Egyptians didn't really like being shepherds. They left, they scoffed, they were embarrassed if they were a shepherd. So who chose the most notable position, noticeable position? Cain, right? So Cain is the oldest. Of course, he has this oldest pride in him. You see what I mean? He does his work. He's too good maybe for the sheep and all that smell and all that, you know, sheep work. You know, let my brother do sheep work. Hey, do you remember David? He was the youngest, right? And notice his brothers didn't do the sheep work. Who was doing the shepherd work? David was. Notice when Joseph was the most loved son, what did his brothers do? They were shepherds. Why wasn't Joseph shepherd? Because he was favorite of his father. So when we see, when we talk about shepherding, it wasn't a good position. Here, Cain chose his job. And notice who brought the first offering to God. Cain did. Cain brought the offering. And here Cain thought, I have a noble job. I work the ground. I get the fruit of the ground. And here, God, I bring it to you. And guess what happens in a family? Usually when one brings, younger brothers, they copy. You're a copycats. You remember in your family, everything you did, your little brothers used to do or sisters used to do? I mean, they wear your clothes. Oh, I remember. I would get good clothes. Me and my brother Peter, we got in a big fight, fist fight, because he would steal my clothes. I mean, just like, I remember I was about 17, 18. He was younger, and he was about already getting to my size. And he started wearing my pants. And every time I would wash the pants or throw it into a laundry, I come back, there's no pants. And I started, you know, getting on them. And then I found my, like, three. And he was really neat person, so he would like organize, and he would like hide them perfectly, you know, set perfectly, and he would put them there. And I found him, we started fighting, you know, had to beat him up. Hey, come on, girls, you've been there. Come on, guys, you've been there. So here comes Abel, and he brings his offering to God. Well, if Cain is doing it, I must do it. So he brings the offering, and guess what happens? God loves the offering of the younger, of the shepherd. You know, he's my younger brother. You know, he's a kid, you know. He's a kid. God, what's going on? And Cain, something happens to Cain. Here he was the oldest. So he had a position of the oldest in the family. He was always respected. You know, Cain this, and Cain is my boy, and he's my oldest. And here God loves Abel. Something happened to Cain. Cain got angry, Bible says, and his countenance fell. So pretty much he went like, oh. He was angry, and he was just upset. So let's look at this. Usually we're envious of people because of some advantage. Cain had an advantage, so he didn't have a problem with Abel. Notice we don't have problem with lower people. We don't have a problem with poorer people than us. Not as good of a looking as us. Not as good as charismatic as us. But when somebody comes and becomes greater than us, especially among our own. You get it. Envy starts creeping in. Envy starts just squeezing us painfully on the inside. Do you remember King Saul and David? When David defeated Goliath, a lot of women started singing and saying, you know, David is the man. And here they were singing, David deserves 10,000. King Saul deserves 1,000. And when King heard that song, he was like, what? That little, you know, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to just kill him. I deserve 10,000, not him. And so what happened was, Saul saw that David had a little advantage in one song. And Saul got angry and envious. Just like Cain got angry and envious. Joseph's brothers got jealous because Joseph had a little advantage over them. Father loves them. God has favored him. Now let's talk about it. Two people could be best of friends growing up. Suddenly one gets financially blessed. Guess what happens? The second one kind of, if you don't watch your heart, something will happen to you. I want to tell you a little secret, guys. I've been holding this for a long time. The other day, this week, something great happened to me. Guys, awesome thing happened to me. I was listening to 104.7. Yeah, I was, yeah. And the craziest thing happened to me. They had this thing for a ninth caller to win a trip to Bahamas. And guess what, guys? I called. And I won it. Now, let me do a test. I just lied. Let me do a test. Don't raise your hands. How many of you thought, great, Pastor Alex won a trip. He deserves it. Don't raise your hands. Okay, we have four hands. Oh. Don't raise your hands. Test your heart. How many of you thought, he's already rich? How many of you, well, hold on, hold it. Hold it. Why does he get lucky? You know, I should get this trip. I should get this trip. I deserve it. I never win anything. See, I didn't give you too much time because envy, you know, would creep in. That's why I told you I lied. Because by the end of this service, you probably would say, I'm not coming to this church. Pastor's too lucky. That's why I told you this, so you know that I lied. But guys, it's a joke. How many of you felt something like, Pastor, again, you know, he gets lucky all the time. Plus, don't raise your hand. One more time he gets lucky. I was falling asleep yesterday. I'm like, what should I do? What should I do? You know, I was like, I was going to tell you a car, but you wouldn't believe it. So, guys, we get envious usually when we feel specially when a person don't deserve it. Especially when God blesses somebody who we don't think deserved it. If anybody should win a trip to Bahamas, it's me. I work so hard. I deserve it. If anybody should, you know, get promotion at work, it's me because I'm honest. You know, I love people. I do this and that. A lot of times envy seeps in. And after a while, you notice the two people used to be best of friends. And now because one is getting blessed, another one is getting more miserable and miserable and miserable by the hour. Let me give you some more. Two brothers love each other. One gets promoted or starts a business and the business goes. And another one stays behind. Guess what usually happens? Envy starts seeping in. What is envy again? It's a painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another person. And here, something happened to their love. Before you used to love the person, now that person just irritates you. Now that person just gets you upset. You just don't want to be around them. They kind of even intimidate you. That's what happens when envy. Two mothers who have great kids. One has a boy and another one has a boy. And here they're best of friends. And suddenly, one boy gets promoted and he becomes a quarterback on a football team. And another one gets benched. Guess what happens between mothers? If you're not careful, the envy begins to build and you find faults with one another. And I have kids, so I begin to understand what it means. I understand this now. I used to not. I want my kids to be the best. And when I see somebody else's kid, and this is just an example. When I see somebody else's kid getting somewhere at some advantage over my kid, you got to admit it. The things start creeping in your heart. And if you're not careful, the friendship with another family could be destroyed. Very fast, very easy. If you're not careful. So parents, be careful. And after you used to be best friends and people ask, what happened? You guys used to be such a good friends. Well, you can just say envy. Let's say your friend, girls, gets a promotion in school. Let's say becomes a
a play star or volleyball star or a prom queen, and she's to be your best friend, and you don't even you're not being recognized. If you're not careful, and listen, most of the time, jealousy will try to seep in. It's just a matter of how you control it or not. If you allow it, it will begin to destroy you on the inside. You will begin to feel pain. And you'll begin to see, why did she get promoted? And you would begin to compete with her. And if you can't compete with her anymore, the second step, you will get angry at her. And then the third step, you will begin to be resentful towards her, and you begin to hate her. And Bible says, whoever hates his brother or sister committed murder in his own heart. You cannot save a friendship after that, because you kill your friendship. Envy kills the best of friends, the best of families, because one gets promoted and another is not at that moment. You can have everything you want in the world. You could be rich, you could have a business, and you can still be envious, because God is always going to bless somebody. You got to admit that. God is always going to bless your friends, your neighbors. Put a video camera, spiritual video camera, on the envy, and always watch it. Always watch it so it's not ruining your heart. Now, Cain became envious of Abel. Do you think Cain loved Abel? Of course he loved Abel. Do you love your brothers? Especially when there's no other kids in the world. Who did Cain got to play with? Abel. Cain loved Abel. Cain could have even been like, oh, we are the best buddies. We're going to be friends forever. We're the only buddies. That's right. Cain loved Abel and Abel loved Cain. But when is true love tested? See, I could say I love Andre, but unless I've been in fights with him, not physical, hopefully, but unless I've been through some quarrels, little ones even, unless I've seen Andre be blessed and I was happy for him, I cannot say that I truly love him yet. I cannot claim that I'm a loving person. See, you cannot claim that you are, I love everybody, I don't hate anybody, until you've been tested. In your area, whatever that area is, it could be money, it could be looks, amen, it could be strength for guys, in different areas. But God will test you. So there was no problem until there was a problem between Cain and Abel. Cain didn't hate his brother Abel. He never wanted to kill him. But here God blesses somebody and hatred is birthed on the inside of him. If you're not careful, you guys could be best friends. Musicians, you guys could be best friends, and then God starts raising somebody. Guy, one opens a business, goes good. Another one opens. And you end up, where am I at? You see what I mean? And if you're not careful, the envy will just begin to be like a fire. And will begin to burn on the inside of you. And begin to just burn you alive. And then you do stupid things. You start competition with one another. We start talking about people behind their back. We start trying to hurt them by our moodiness. What's wrong?
Nothing.
You want to do something? No. Are you mad at me? No. Why would you say that? I know you're mad at me. What's wrong? Did I do something? I don't want to talk about right now. When? I don't know. I just want things to be back to normal. What do you mean? Well, you changed. You're different. Yeah, I got blessed. That's the only thing. I'm still the same person, but I just got blessed. A lot of people cannot handle God blessing you, people. But a lot of times we can handle when God blesses somebody else too. Cain love. And yesterday when I was preparing for this, I was just like weeping before the Lord. I was like, God, look what this did. Cain never knew how to kill. He was the first person to be born. There was no murder. Guys, there was no murder before. How did he even know how to kill him? But see what envy does? Envy makes you out of control. You get angry, you get hateful, and hate is not very far from murder. Let me give you another example. Just because you don't hate a person does not mean that you love them. Now let's talk about God.
Just because you don't hate God doesn't mean that you love Him. Right? Okay, so let me give you an example and let me read something to you in Exodus. Do you remember when people of Israel went to Egypt and they lived there and God multiplied them there? And listen to what happened. Now there arose a new king in Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happens, even in the war, that they join our enemies. So look what happens. While the Israelites were small in their land, in Egypt, Egyptians could say, you know, we like them. We don't hate them. Look, we give them a place to live. But as soon as God began to bless Israel and they began to multiply, what happened to Egypt? Envy started creeping in into the heart of a Pharaoh, of a king of that age. And he started saying, we got to start doing something because they're getting too big. That's what happens in the heart of a person who's envious. They start saying, I got to do something because they have advantage over me and I got to catch up. And usually that's when competition starts. So if you feel a competition with your friend, know that there's envy already. Check, is it between them? Is it their issue or is it my issue? Maybe there's somebody here who says, Pastor, but I don't have a problem with jealousy or envy. I don't have a problem. I like people. I usually am a nice person and I like people. Well, it's kind of like saying, Pastor, I don't have a sin in my life. Bible says if you say that you don't have sin in your life, you are a liar. That's what Bible says, right? So when we say, Pastor, I don't envy nobody, guys were liars then. Because everyone will be, maybe not all the time, but will be tested with this evil sin. Everyone will be tempted with this evil sin. I remember when I opened a business and my business was going good. It was 6-7 years. And nobody that I knew had the same business for like 7 years. And after 7 years, three people opened three different businesses like mine, people that I knew. See, I didn't care if people I didn't know opened the business. Amen? But when people are close to you, open a business. Or if people are close to you, build a better house than you. Or if people are close to you, buy a better car than you. Or if people are close to you, marry before you. Or marry a better girl than you. So what happened is, I remember I was feeling that. And although I had nothing to do with their businesses, I just knew the people. I was like, oh, you know, started feeling this. And I didn't like myself. I hated myself for feeling this way. But I couldn't help myself. This envy was starting to, you know, seep through my heart. And I had to fight it. And thank God I'm free today from that issue. But there's more. There's always more. We just got to make sure we're not envious of people. Because people who we're envious of, we will not like. So number one lesson. If you don't like somebody, check in your heart first. Am I envious towards that person? Number two, if you don't like somebody, check one more thing. Check your family history. Remember last week? Check, maybe your mother didn't like her. Maybe your father didn't like him. Or those types of people, those category of people. Check yourself to see, Lord, why don't I like that person? So what's the solutions to loving people you don't really like? So if you meet a person you don't like, maybe even here today, you don't like somebody here. Maybe you don't like me. Okay, check, stop for a moment. Just slow yourself down for a moment. Stop the car. Okay? Ask yourselves, why don't I like that person? Is it because of my jealousy? Notice, a lot of times we forgive people we like more than those who we don't like. How many of you guys ever heard a husband say bad things about his wife that he loves? No. But how many of us know that we can talk about somebody else's wife or somebody, another woman or another guy, without even thinking about it? I had friends who were cousins and they were like inseparable. And whatever one said, another said. It was like, you know, I hated it. I didn't like that. But even when they were wrong, they would still stick up for each other. I was like, what is this? And later I understood It's because of love. First, I couldn't tell, but love covers multitude of sins. That's what the Bible says. When you love somebody, you're able to not see a lot of things in them. So ask yourself, am I envious? Am I envious of that person opening that business? Am I envious of their children? Am I envious of her looks or how she dresses or of his success? Am I envious of her gift or his gift? So that's number two. Then three, ask, maybe that friend is envious of you. Okay, and they're acting out and you start not to like them anymore. Ask them, maybe they're envious of you. And in those situations, we got to give person room and time for God to deal with them. Don't go running after them and asking constantly, what's wrong? Can we still be friends? You know, just kind of give them time. Because we've all been there. We needed time. When we were jealous or envious, we needed time. So give that person a little bit of time. Don't hate on them. Don't talk bad about them. Give them time. Give time for God to deal with them. And then number four is maybe your love tank is empty. Sometimes you just don't like a person and there's no reason for it. Sometimes I don't like my wife and there's no reason for it. Sometimes I just don't like my children. Like yesterday I went to the restaurant and they were really misbehaving and I just didn't like them. And I felt guilty. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? And Lord said, your love tank is on empty, on E. You got to fill it up. Amen? Fight envy with love. If you don't love somebody, you don't like somebody, just say, I don't know why I don't like you. Or maybe I'm jealous of you. But I choose to love you. Make a choice. Say, I choose to love you. That's it. And then the last one, have a mindset of Christ. And this is what it says. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do even greater works. Notice Jesus didn't say, guys, I do this much works and everybody's going to be lower than me. I'm going to be the top. Notice what Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do greater. So always have a mindset, I want people to do greater than I am. And I know it's hard. I want people to look better than I do. I want people to be stronger. I want people to be more talented than I am. Always say that. Live with that mindset. The works that I do, Jesus said, you will do greater. Say to your neighbor, I want you to be greater. No, talk to your neighbor. Look, talk to your neighbor. Say, I want you to be greater. I want you to have better business than I do. You're in. Earl, I want you to grow and be a millionaire before me. I'm fine with that. And begin to confess. Guys, what we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, that's what we will get in our life. I want you to be better painter than I am. Hallelujah. I want you to be better musician than I am. I want you to be just better than everything that I do. Have a mentality like that. Have the mindset of Christ. Hallelujah. I want you to be better tree cutter. Get me out of business. Get me out of business, man. Hallelujah. I want you guys to be better preachers. Better musicians. I want you to reach and write better CDs. I want you. And I'm going to confess that. And maybe some things, my heart's still like, you know. It's only a confession in the beginning. But after you confess it, you begin to believe it. You keep confessing. Begin to pray for people you feel envious about. Don't say they're my enemies now. No, they're not my enemies. I love them. I would choose to love.